Today we're going to be in John chapter 11, and a lesson appropriately entitled, I'm the Resurrection and the Life. If you want to follow in your pew Bibles, you can do that, page 1668.
Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus,
"Lord, the one you love is sick."
When he heard this, Jesus said,
"This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it."
Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. And then he said to his disciples,
"Let us go back to Judea."
"But Rabbi,"
they said,
"a short while ago the Jews there tried to stone you, and yet you are going back?"
Jesus answered,
"Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Anyone who walks in the daytime will not stumble, for they see by this world's light. It is when a person walks at night that they stumble, for they have no light."
After he had said this, he went on to tell them,
"Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to wake him up."
His disciples replied,
"Lord, if he sleeps, he will get better."
Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So then he told them plainly,
"Lazarus is dead, and for your sake I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him."
Then Thomas, also known as Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples,
"Let us also go, that we may die with him."
On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home.
"Lord,"
Martha said to Jesus,
"if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask."
Jesus said to her,
"Your brother will rise again."
Martha answered,
"I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day."
Jesus said to her,
"I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this?"
"Yes, Lord,"
she replied.
"I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world."
After she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside.
"The teacher is here,"
she said,
"and is asking for you."
When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house comforting her noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said,
"Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died."
When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled.
"Where have you laid him?"
he asked.
"Come and see, Lord,"
they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said,
"See how he loved him."
But some of them said,
"Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?"
Pause there for some observations. First thing I want you to notice, Jesus loved them. More than once it says that in the text. He loved Lazarus as his dear friend, and he deeply loved Lazarus' sisters, Mary and Martha. Yet he didn't immediately drop everything and come when they called. Why? I've shared before that I'm convinced that Lazarus was already dead by the time Jesus got the news. He waited 2 more days before traveling the day-long journey it would have taken to be with them. And he found, when he arrived, Lazarus was in the tomb already 4 days. Do the math. He loved them enough to know there was a deeper need that they had than just his comforting presence, though they needed that. He wanted to do more than just comfort them for a moment or through a period of crisis. He wanted to bring them a comfort that would last and help them through every crisis. He also loved his other disciples. He tells them, and it seems so strange to say, he says that he was glad for their sake that he'd not been there to heal Lazarus before he died. Now that seems odd to say. Seems strange to say. Why would he say it? Because he knew they had a deeper need as well. They also needed to have some hope. They needed to have some comfort, some consolation that would last throughout their lives. Not just for the moment, not just for the current situation. He knew they had a deep, deep need. A need to believe. A need to believe. Jesus, I have good news for you, also loves us. And though he might not always respond the way we think he should, in the manner that we think he should, in the time frame that we think he should, his lack of love is never the issue. In fact, it's more likely the opposite. It's more likely his deep love for us that is causing the delay. There's either something for us to learn as we wait for his response, something he knows we will never learn any other way, or there's something better he has in store for us, something we haven't even dared to dream of, let alone ask for. Ever called and Jesus hasn't immediately responded? Never doubt that he loves you. And if there's a delay, it's also because he loves you. As hard and as difficult as that can be for us to understand, to wrap our minds around. Second thing I want you to notice is that Jesus sympathized with Mary and Martha. He loved them, but he also sympathized. Empathize might be a better word. He was moved by their grief. Was he not? It says so. He was touched, and he wept. He wept. And it's not the idea that he just got a little teary-eyed, that he sobbed, but no, that he wept as they did. And that's interesting because Jesus knew the present reality. He knew that though Lazarus had vacated the premises, he was still alive. And we've emphasized that over and over again, that when there's faith, when there's trust, when there's confidence in Jesus, because of Jesus, that death is not the end. Physical death does not end life. He knew that present reality, but he also knew the future reality. He knew. He had told his disciples, I go there to wake him up. He knew what was going to take place. He knew what he was going to do. They didn't, but he did. Mary was right that her brother would be raised on the last day. But Jesus intended to raise him on that day. Who could have guessed? Who would have thought? Still, when they couldn't grasp the full meaning of his words, either because of the cloud of tears that veiled their hearts, or maybe just a lack of the spiritual insight that they needed, he wept. He wept. He cried real tears. Now that tells me something. Sometimes the best thing we can do for those who have suffered loss is to cry with them. Paul says later that we're to mourn with those who mourn. How many of you have ever gone to a funeral visitation and thought, I just don't know what to say? I don't know what to say. And maybe not knowing what to say has even kept you from going, because you just don't know what to say. Or maybe you think, well, I know what to say, but I don't know that the opportunity is going to present itself for me to say what I need to say. Or even if it does, I don't think they're really going to understand what I'm saying. Or even if they understand it, I don't know that it's going to help at the moment. So what do you do? How about this? Don't say anything. Don't say anything. Just weep. Just hold them and weep. Tears speak volumes, do they not? They say that your heart is touched by their grief and you care about them and what they're going through. Hebrews 4, 14 through 16 tells us that Jesus sympathizes with us. He is a high priest who sympathizes. He's been through the things we've been through. He understands, he knows, and he sympathizes. He is touched by our grief. Let the knowledge of his compassion and of his tears comfort you when you're going through a time of loss. Do so even as you would allow for a relative or a friend to hold you and comfort you and cry with you. Let Jesus do that with you. Through the eyes of faith, look into his eyes, and you'll see that they're filled with tears. So I personally believe that Jesus was as grieved by their inability to understand who he really was and what he could do as he was grieved by their temporary loss. Because remember, he knew it was temporary. Very temporary. And I believe that's why, after assuring them that their brother would rise again, he asked, "Do you believe this? Do you believe this?" The answer was, "Yes, Lord, I believe. I believe." And now for the rest of the story.
Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance.
"Take away the stone,"
he said.
"But Lord,"
said Martha, the sister of the dead man,
"by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days.
Then Jesus said,
"Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?"
So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said,
"Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me. But I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me."
When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice,
"Lazarus, come out."
The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them,
"Take off the grave clothes and let him go."
Therefore, many of the Jews who had come to visit Mary and had seen what Jesus did believed in him.
They didn't expect that, did they? No, they didn't. Jesus called first to his heavenly Father. Then he called to Lazarus. His Father heard his voice from heaven, and his friend heard his voice from beyond the grave. And Lazarus came forth, not smelling the way his sister expected either. King James Version, I believe, said, "Lord, he'll stinketh." Yeah, you would expect so, but he didn't. He came forth. And then they believed. Not just that Jesus could raise them on the last day, but that Jesus could bring life to the dead today. That Jesus truly was more powerful and amazing and capable and able than even they realized. And it was no longer a hypothetical. That yes, I believe that one day, Jesus, you will do something about this, but Jesus, you can do something about this today. You think they would ever have doubts again about their own personal resurrection? Ever have doubts? You think they would ever say again, Lord, if you'd had been here, things would have been better? If you'd have come when I called, that would have been better? You might think so. But no. Mary and Martha? Oh, I'm going to tell you that they would never doubt who Jesus was. Oh, they knew he was the Messiah. But the resurrection, the life, no. But they did now. They did now. And Lazarus came forth not as a walker with putrefying and decaying flesh. No. He came forth alive, well, vibrant. And matter of fact, so well, so healthy, so vibrant, so full of life, he became a living testimony to the truth of Jesus' claim to be the resurrection and the life. Matter of fact, the Jews were trying to conspire about how they might kill him again. You know, put him away again because, you know, this guy is just, he's just confirming that Jesus is who he says that he is. And it's one of those things we can't explain away. We can't possibly, you know, ignore this. And people are believing. And we don't want them to be believing. And so they wanted him to shut up. And he wouldn't shut up. And so they wanted to shut him up. And you know what? They couldn't. Do you know that Jesus assures us that he will one day call us out of our graves? John 5, 28-29 tells us very clearly, do not be amazed at this, for time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done what is good will rise to life, and those who have done what is evil will rise to be condemned. It might be a good time to ask you this question. Do you believe this? I would expect that you do. I would expect that the majority of you would say, yeah, I believe that. Again, like Martha, you believe in the last day, you'll be raised. You believe that. But do you, like them, think there's no hope for happiness, no possibility of peace, no chance for change until the last day? Because in essence, isn't that what they were confessing? As much as they confessed, I believe, yes, at the last day. But they were also confessing, but Lord, if you'd have just been here. If so, if that's you too, could I ask you to at least consider the possibility that Jesus may want to do something amazing in your life even today? That he might want to display a mighty miracle in your life. And hear me. He's been waiting for just the right time when you and all those around you are ripe and ready to believe. To believe. Because sometimes, see, it's not until we are in a total state of hopelessness and Jesus shows up that we believe beyond a shadow of a doubt now. Well, there's no other way this could have happened. No other way this could have happened without Jesus being who he says he is. Are you ready to believe? Are you ready to believe his power over your life, over the life of your loved ones, who will put their faith in him? Are you ready to believe? I've challenged you somewhat to identify with Mary and Martha, but what about Lazarus? What about Lazarus? I'm sure I'm not the first one to ever have wondered this, but I wonder what was he thinking? Here's Lazarus, as I understand it, he's at Abraham's side, and peace, security, joy, bliss, no worries, no aches, no pains, no sickness. Wow! And Jesus says, Lazarus, come forth. Come forth. Everybody else had counted him out, but Jesus is calling him out. Why? Jesus got a job for him yet to do. What's the job? First to come out. First to come out and stand in front of everybody as a testimony of the power of God through Jesus Christ. And secondly, to live every day that you now have granted to you to be a living testimony of what God has done in your life. That's what he wanted Lazarus to do. That was the purpose he had for him, to confirm for so many people, again, that Jesus has power over, it's that word that keeps coming up, life. See, he doesn't just say, I am the resurrection. I'm the resurrection and the life. Life. You don't, see, everyone's going to raise. That's what he said. He's going to call everyone from the grave, but some will be called to life. Will be called to life. Resurrection and life. Jesus brought it back to life to be that living testimony of the ability of the great I am. And when you think about it, for all of us who have been born again, who found new life in Jesus, isn't that what he's calling us out for? Do you know what the Greek word for church is, ekklesia? The called out. We're called out. Called out. Come on. Called out. Called out of the world, yes. And then we're sent out into the world as the called out ones, right? To testify about Jesus and his power over life. Too many, I believe, have been saved from death, but are still walking around in grave clothes. Spiritually speaking, we have died to sin. And we have been raised, Romans 6 says, to a newness of life by the power of Jesus. New life. New life. But I wonder, are some of us still tangled up in our sins? Still bound up so tightly in the sins that we say that are hindering us, keeping us from walking in the new life that we're called out? To live? Maybe we're tied up in our preconceptions, in our traditions, even our church traditions, so much that we're afraid to run and jump and shout the glory of God. Maybe we're wrapped up in our fears, in our doubts. But I ask you, is there something hindering you, keeping you from being a testimony of Jesus' power over life? If there is, guess what? I'm here to tell you and assist you in taking off those grave clothes. Jesus said to them, remove those grave clothes, right? Take those off of him so that he can be that testimony, so people can see the life in him. I want to help you. Take off the grave clothes. Whatever it is, hindering you, keeping you from being the revelation that God intends for you to be. Jesus as the resurrection and the life. What he says, Lazarus, I say to you, come forth. Let's pray. Father God, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for Jesus. Oh my goodness. Every time I get a glimpse of him in the scripture and this portrayal today, it just reminds me of what an awesome and mighty Lord, I have. That Jesus is the great I am. That Jesus is, this is, we've seen so many things. But what he is, most of all, is life. Life for us who need life so desperately. I pray, Father, that you would help us to recognize Jesus for who he is and for what he can do, and be willing to surrender our lives and to believe in more than just what he can do in the last day, but what he can do today. And Father, that no matter what he asks us to do, as silly as it might sound for us, that whether he says go and roll the stone away, whatever he says, that we will do it believing that he knows what's best. He can do what's best in our lives. Father, if there are those here again today who have not yet recognized Jesus as the resurrection and the life for them, that they might believe. And that we can assist them in taking the steps they need to. Father, enjoy that resurrection for now and forever. In Jesus' name.